Good morning.
Good morning.
Something happened when you woke up this morning. That's weird. All right, well, let's see this morning. Take your Bible, go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2, it's Friday. Wow. Here we are. All coming down to the wire. I'm interested to see which team comes out on top. No. How many of you think the green team is going to come out on top?
Yeah!
But they're not all convinced. Okay. How many of you think the blue team is going to come out on top?
Yeah!
Okay. What about the red team?
Yeah!
Okay, well, at least nobody on the other team is convinced that the other team is going to come out on top. All right. Some of you must be self-deceived. I don't know. We'll see. All right, it'll be exciting. Hey, I need a volunteer this morning. Anybody feel like being a volunteer this morning? All right, Caleb, right? All right, come on up, Caleb. Now, Caleb, I'll be honest. I think I've yet to see your eyes. I actually don't know what you look like. I think he's a Secret Service agent. Okay. All right, here's what I need you to do. We have right here, kind of hidden behind this. Where'd it go? Somewhere. There it is. Look at that right here. All right. I want you to take and put your foot against the base and your shoulder against it. Have you done this before? Okay. All right. So you're good. I want you to do that. All right. Here's what we're going to do. So your shoulder's got to be, leaning up against that. And here's the challenge. All right. This is a challenge. We got to see if Caleb can successfully lift his left foot off the ground without his shoulder or foot coming off of this post, okay? So let's give it a try here, Caleb. Try again. It's all right. All right. You got something good to try?
Just raise it.
Want to try? All right, we got anything else want to try? All right, James, coming up here.
Oh, yes.
The record holder. Let's see if you can do this. All right. Got to get your foot against that. Yeah, find that post there. All right. Your foot's got to be up against it. There you go. Your shoulder's not on this. It's got to be flat on. There you go. All right. No. Get that foot up against it. No cheating. That's counting. All right, didn't do it either. Okay. You know, it's actually physically impossible because of how the center of balance works and things like that. It doesn't matter how strong you are, doesn't matter how coordinated you are. It's not that these guys are fundamentally flawed, okay?
Yeah!
I could have every single one of you come up here and we would all have the same problem. You cannot do it. It is absolutely impossible. It is how we're made. Okay? Doesn't matter if you're big or if you're small. Okay? Doesn't matter if you've got a lot of advice. Well, I've got a real strategic brain. I can think through. Nope, you're not going to find a way. It is physically impossible to do it. And so there's no surprise. Okay, that Caleb or James couldn't actually pull it off. I knew that was going to happen. Not because I doubt their strength and ability, but because it's impossible. It's impossible. I want to ask you this morning, how many of you this week, whether publicly or privately, you made a decision and you say, I want it to last. I want to follow through. I made a decision and I want to follow through. You say, that's me. I made a decision to do it, publicly or privately. All right? Good. You put your hands down. All right. I didn't really look in detail to see who that was. But I've got something I want to tell you this morning as we have our last PCL time together. You maybe wouldn't expect to hear this, but you can't follow through on those decisions. In fact, you can't live the Christian life. It's impossible. You can't do it. It doesn't matter how strong you might feel. Doesn't matter how mature you might feel. Doesn't matter how much knowledge you might have today. You can't do it. You cannot live the Christian life as God intends for you to live it. It's impossible. Everything we talked about this week, We can go through it all, right? Being a doer of the word and having that heart and living a life of unlimited forgiveness and having right view of living clean before God and rejoicing in those hard times. All those things, you know, we can't actually do that in our own strength. It's impossible. I don't say that to discourage us this morning. I say that to encourage you, actually, because there's so many times when the Christian life feels impossible, doesn't it? You feel like, man, I'm supposed to do this, and I've got this, and this here, and these, all these things, and I'm pulling out my hair to try to do one of these, and all of these things I'm supposed to be doing. How is this even possible? Can I really do this? I don't think that I can. You think I'm saved? I thought I was supposed to be able to do this. I thought you never were supposed to be able to do it. You weren't. Even after you're saved, living the life that God intends for his followers to live is impossible, and it always will be. And that's not just a fluke. It's not like God messed up and how he set things up. No, it's supposed to be that way. You aren't supposed to be able to live the Christian life on your own. God designed it so that we cannot live the Christian life without him involved in the situation. Okay? You need Jesus. Now, here in the book of Colossians, all right, this is a letter that Paul wrote to the church at Colossae. And there's a lot of things that he covers in here, a lot of practical truth. But he begins the book with a prayer, almost like a song of praise is really what it is. But it's a prayer, rejoicing. And it kind of climaxes up to really what is, I think, the high point of certainly the first chapter and really the whole letter. Comes to verse number 18 and says, he, speaking of Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That he might be the most important in all that we do. That he might be at the center of our life. And that's really what the book of Colossians is all about. That Jesus is the one who is preeminent. That he needs to be central in our Christian life, in every area. It's got to come back and be centered around him completely. And if we try to go and follow through on decisions that we've made without Jesus at the center, we're not going to be able to do it. You might for a little while, you might be able to take a little, but you know what? You're not going to be able to walk in that reality. You can't do it in your own strength. Jesus has to be the focal point, has to be at the center. You need him right in the middle. Hey, if you try to say, well, I want to grow in my hunger for the Word of God, in my walk with him, I want to be consistent in my devotion time. Well, listen, you might be able to grunt out and have some, you know, well, I actually do this every day because you're a disciplined person. But I can tell you, you can't grow in an actual vibrant living relationship without God. Jesus has to be at the center of it. You have to be seeking him passionately. All right, so we can't do it on our own. So what do? Do we just give up and go home? Is that what we do? No. We come back and say, all right, Jesus, I want to live this Christian life with you right in the center of it. Well, how do we do that? Look here in Colossians chapter 2 now. We'll look at a verse of scripture. It's a simple verse, 14 words. I can tell you, this verse has changed my life. And last night I talked about that Tuesday night revival meeting when God did a deep work in my heart and changed the direction of where I was going. This was the passage that was preached on that night that God opened my eyes to. And so I want to share it with you this morning because for me it has been so important, and I hope it will be for you as well. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 6 says these very simple, there's no complicated words in the verse, very, very simple, 14 words. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Here's the simple truth for this morning. The way you got saved is the way you live the Christian life. The way you got saved is the way you follow through on the decisions that you made this week. The way that you got saved is the way that you walk with Jesus every day. The way you got saved is the way you live the Christian life. Let's pray and we'll look at this truth. Lord, would you help us now? Would you make this clear? Lord, you have to illuminate this, Spirit of God. And would you help to click in some hearts this morning? The simplicity of how you've designed the Christian life to be. Yes, it's impossible without you, but Lord, with you, we can do that which is impossible. Help us to truly believe that today as we lay hold on this simple truth. And I ask this in your name. Amen. What we see here laid out in this verse is very simply, it says, I'm giving you a pattern, and then I want you to see the walk, how you live out that pattern. Okay, so I want you to see, first of all, the pattern. The pattern, we see the first half of the verse, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. That's the pattern. Okay? Just like you trusted Jesus for salvation. Now, what's a pattern? What's a pattern? Somebody tell me, what's a pattern? Logan.
Something that repeats.
Something that repeats, okay. Certainly, a pattern would be something that repeats. We'll talk about that in a moment. All right, what else? Anybody else? Other perspective, what's a pattern? Something you do consistently, okay. So that's got that repetitive aspect, certainly. What else, James?
Something you have to follow.
Something you have to follow, okay. All right, so we kind of combine these different aspects, right? A pattern is something that you follow when you're trying to make multiples of the same thing, right? Any ladies in here that sew? All right? Some sewing people, all right? I grew up with, I have seven sisters, and my sisters did a lot of sewing, okay? And so I confess, when I was a younger kid, I helped with some of this, so I've used a sewing pattern before, okay? But it's been a very long time. Watching where they have those, they, you buy that, say, oh, I want to make this particular skirt, or I want to make this, you know, particular bag, and you buy a pattern, and that pattern comes in this little, at least they used to, you get them online. It came in these little envelopes, and you pull it out, and it's made out of this paper that seems like it's going to tear really easy, this brown stuff, and there's different markings, and depending on what size you're making, you cut out that pattern, right? You take that and you pin, lay out the material flat, and you pin that onto the material so you can cut that out. Why do you do that? They do this so that you don't have to figure out, how do I make this the right size for me in the right shapes, right, to put this all together. The idea is if you follow that pattern, you get those right pieces and you put it together correctly, you have exactly what was there on the front. Unless you're one of those people that modifies it. But some of you are that way, right? All right, that's the idea, okay? If you're cooking, we have a different word we use for patterns in cooking. You know what it is? A recipe, right? And what's the idea of a recipe? Well, if you go over to somebody's house and you say, oh man, that meal was really, really good. That was great. Okay, then, man, Mrs. Fry, that fajita casserole last night was really, really good. I want to make that when I go home. Can I get the recipe? Oh, what are you doing? Say, well, I want the information about what exactly you used and the process so that I can actually follow through and make the exact same thing, right? Now, guys, how many woodworkers, we asked this question yesterday. Not a lot of woodworkers. Okay? But a few of you that do woodworking, and you can get patterns in woodworking as well. And where you take and want to make a particular thing, you get that pattern. Works a lot like the sewing pattern does. You trace it. Now you've got those shapes that you can make exactly that thing. Repeat it, right? Well, here, he's giving us a pattern. He's saying, listen, this is exactly, you follow this pattern, and you're going to get the result. All right, so here's the pattern. Okay, what was the pattern? Okay, he says, when you trusted Jesus for salvation, that moment when you came to Jesus and you trusted him, what was happening in that moment? What was the pattern? All right, well, let's think about that. Okay, when you got saved, the first thing you had to do was admit your need, right? You had to come to a place where you came to Jesus and realized, I have a problem and I can't fix it. I'm a sinner and I can't change the fact that I'm a sinner. And because I'm a sinner, I deserve to spend eternity in hell. So I've got a need, and there's a whole lot of people that aren't willing to admit that I can't fix the problem, right? And that's why there's people all over the world, you go, religions of the world, and what are they filled with? People who are trying to work in some way to earn their salvation. Because they haven't come to agree with what the Bible says about salvation, that you have to come to a place where you say, I can't work to get my salvation. Jesus did all of the work for me, right? And so, if in order for somebody to get saved, they cannot get saved without coming to the place of saying, I can't save myself. I'm me, right? Does that make sense? You tracking with me so far? Okay, that's important for salvation. right? Someone's going to be saved. They have to be willing to say, I have a problem that I can't fix. But not if it just stops there, is somebody saved? No. No. Good. Thank you for shaking your head. No, I appreciate that. At least somebody's listening. No. Just because somebody admits their need doesn't mean that they're saved. In order for somebody to get saved, yes, they have to realize they need to be saved, but then they have to choose to trust in the deliverer, the Savior, right? That Savior means deliverer. Okay, so I'll use that term here, but trust in the deliverer. Put their trust in Jesus, who came to this earth as a perfect man, lived a perfect life, and he was crucified on the cross. All of your sins and my sins were laid upon him as he shed his blood on Calvary. He died on that cross, paying for your sin and mine, rose from the grave 3 days later. All right? And that's how we come and say, listen, I'm going to put all of my trust in Jesus and Jesus alone to save me. I can't save myself. So I'm going to trust Jesus to do all of the saving for me. Right? That's essential, okay? If someone's going to be saved, that's the only way of salvation. Trusting Jesus and Jesus alone. All right? So here's the pattern. Okay? I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I need Jesus. And so, Jesus, I'm coming to you, and I'm trusting you, what you did on the cross, and I'm trusting you completely, you to do all of the saving. I'm not trusting me to do 50% of the saving and you to do 50% of the saving. No, no, Jesus, I'm trusting you to do 100% of the saving. Jesus, I'm not coming. I'm not trusting you to do 70% of the saving and me to do 30% of it. No, 100% Jesus. I'm not trusting Jesus to do 98% of the saving and me to do 2%. No, 100% of the saving is Jesus. That's the only way of salvation. If we're trusting ourselves at all, we're not actually trusting Jesus fully. And so someone's not saved until they come to a place where they say, it's not me, it's Jesus and Jesus alone. Got it? Following with me? Does this make sense? Okay, that's how we get saved. And again, I don't know, on Friday, I hope that at this point of the week, that everyone that's here has come to that place where you've realized I'm a sinner and I need to be saved, and I put all of my trust in Jesus and only Jesus to save me from sin and hell. But if you haven't, you can make that decision today. I plead with you to make that decision today. Stop trusting yourself, put all of your trust in Jesus and Jesus alone to save you. That's the only way of salvation. There is no other way. But can I remind you, young people, that when we trust in Jesus for salvation, it's not that we trusted in a thing to save us. It's not that we trusted in a message. We talk about the gospel. You've got to believe the gospel, trust in the gospel. But you're not just trusting in a message. You're trusting in a person. You're trusting in Jesus himself, what he has done. That's the pattern that God's laid out for us. Admit your need. Trust the deliverer completely. To do for you what you can't do for yourself. Right? All right. Now, I brought this with me. I didn't make this. This is the third one. All right. Look at that, ladies. Guys, you don't care. I understand. Beautiful piece of work right here. All right. This is a little fox. One of my sister-in-laws made this for one of my kids. And they have a variety of different things like this. I could have brought that are crocheted like this. And this is a, y'all know the term for this, right? This is a blanket. Yes, this is an amigurumi head. Do you guys know that term? Aren't you proud of me? Yeah, thank you. All right, amigurumi. So I have no clue what that really means beyond the four of these things. I really don't. All right. So if we look at this, we can evaluate things and think, wow, that's really cool. How did they do that? That's incredible. Whatever. You know what this is? It's the same, you know, this blanket, it's the same stitch over and over and over and over again. That's all it is. Now, okay, they use different colors, so they had to tie it. Okay, I get that. But ultimately, as far as the stitching goes, it is the same stitch over and over. If you look in detail at this, same stitch over and over and over again. What is it? It's following a pattern. One stitch, next one, next one, next one. And sure, there's certain numbers, and there was a pattern of how many stitches to do that she followed to get this end product, right? And in order to make this, listen, you say, listen, now, there's a pattern. That's the pattern, that moment when you trusted Jesus to save you. Because now, I want you to see the walk. You've seen the pattern, and I want you to see the walk. Just like here, there's those repeated stitches of the exact same thing. Brings us to that end product that's delightful. All right, in your walk, I want you to follow that pattern in every single step of your walk. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. The moment of salvation is the pattern you need to follow for every step of your Christian life. You need to take the dynamics that were at work in that moment when you trusted Jesus. And you need to apply those same dynamics to every single step of your Christian life. Let me put it this way. Okay? I have here my phone. All right? And if I take a photo on my phone, all right? I had a very interesting expression on my face when I clicked that picture. I'm just so bad at it, you didn't let me show it to you. Wow, I did something very strange. Yeah, don't that look good? Wow. I don't know what I was doing. Looks like we had a really bad week. That's what it looks like. This group of kids, I'm telling you. Well, all right, you know what happened in that moment? What did we do? We took a shot, and what did? We captured the action of what was taking place in that moment at an instant in time. All right? And my face happened to be particularly bad instant in time. And that's what it did, right? It's a single frame, and it caught whatever action was happening. Now, I can, with this same phone, because, you know, these things are impressive, I can take a video. And so, well, I want to take a video of me. We tried that last time. All right, here we go. Ready? All right, so we can take a video. Look, oh, people smiling. There we go. See, look at that. So I can take a video. So now we can watch and really see, okay? One's going up, man. I'm just going to retire and go home. There we go. Look, all right. We'll put that in the review video. There it is. See? All right. What's happening there? Yeah, it's a sound. There's sound. Okay, what's happening? All right. When you take a picture, you're capturing the action in a moment of time. When you take a video, you're capturing the action, and boy, you see movement over time, right? But you know what a video actually is? It's a whole bunch of pictures. If you dial it all the way down, you're teching people, right? Every video is a certain number of frames per second. So oftentimes it's 24 frames per second. Okay, or you can set it to 30 frames per second. What that is, that's 30 individual pictures it takes and plays them back in a single second. You can do 60 frames per second if you want buttery smooth slow motion. It's 120 frames per second. Or is that 120 pictures taken and crammed together in a single second, okay? And then, so when we play it back, it looks like it's moving, but it's actually, if you go all the way down to the frame level, it's just a whole bunch of still photos. Okay, just played together really fast. Like, have you seen those books, all right, where you take the book and it has the dog on there with chasing the ball or whatever, or jumping there, and you just flip the page, like, and it looks like it's moving? But what it is, it's actually, there's nothing moving in the book, all right? But you're seeing that whole bunch. That's the idea. Okay, what is it saying? All right, that it's saying, listen, the dynamic that was caught in that single moment, that photo, that instance in time when you trusted Jesus for salvation, that needs to be duplicated in every single frame of your Christian life. In every single step, if we go all the way down, every step, there it is, the same dynamics. Okay, so what are those dynamics? Do you remember our pattern? The same pattern needs to be played out. The same action of trust that took place in the moment we trusted Christ needs to be duplicated in every step. All right, so what is it? Admit your need. Or here's a step I need to take. Lord, I can't do this. It's up to me. This is impossible. I can't take that step. Lord, I've got a problem. I've got a need in my life. And I can't do this. I can't take this step. But Jesus, I'm coming to you right now, and I'm going to trust you as my deliverer. And so right now, I don't feel like I can take this step. I don't have the strength to do that. But Jesus, I know you do, and so I'm going to put all of my trust in you and you alone. As I take this step, I'm going to trust you to deliver me and give me strength to do what I can't do. And then in the next step, Jesus, oh man, I need to take this step. I can't do that. But that's too difficult. But Jesus, you're calling me to take that step. And so I'm going to put them right now. I know I can't do this, but I'm trusting you. Would you give me strength to do what I can't do as I step out and take that step? In every step, the same trust that you had in Jesus the moment you got saved needs to be lived out as you take that step. Realizing, just like you said, I can't save myself. Jesus, I need you to do all the saving. Jesus, I don't have the strength to take this step, but I'm trusting you to give me all the strength that I need as I step out in obedience to your word. The same pattern now played out in every single step of your Christian walk. You know what happens? That's how impossible things become possible. Not because you finally are strong enough to do it, but because you learn that I'm never strong enough to do it. But I can trust in the one who is strong enough and can give me his strength to step out and follow through on those decisions. What does that look like in real life, right? What does it look like, all right? What does it look like when you see that thing comes by, whether it's on a television screen or on a computer or a billboard or whatever it is, and you have that desire to look at that thing? In that moment, you have a choice, right? You can say, well, I'm trying to resist the temptation. But in that moment, you know what you need to do? Jesus, I feel like looking at that, taking a second look or a prolonged glance. But Jesus, I can't keep forgetting that. I'm going to trust you right now. Give me strength. Give me strength. I'm going to turn my head the other way. I'm trusting you to give me strength to walk in purity right now. Okay, when your younger sibling does something that is incredibly irritating, and you feel like turning and just reaming them out, right? Giving that harsh response, that irritated response. And they said, in that moment, saying, Jesus, you know what's rising in my heart, but right now, I need your patience and love. I can't do this. I'm trusting you. Give me strength to keep my mouth shut right now. I'm trusting you. And keep those lips shut. Lord, give me grace right now to give a kind and gentle response, to speak words of love instead of irritation. Now listen, you still have to actually move your physical muscles, right? We're not talking about just being there and, okay, now I'm just going to, I'm going to sit back. Jesus has to do it all, so I'm going to let Jesus do it all, you know? No, you still have to actually take the step that he's calling you to take. That's the importance of surrender we talked about last night, right? A heart that says, I'm willing to do anything, and I'll obey you in everything that you tell me to do. That's essential. But it's realizing that God's going to lead you to take a step. You think, I can't do that. But Jesus, I'm going to take your strength right now. I'm going to trust you to give me strength that I do not possess to do something that's impossible to me as I step out and obey you at this instant. Trusting Jesus to do through you what you cannot do yourself. It's living out this pattern that, boy, this is what the moment of salvation was. Now in every step of my Christian life, I'm wanting to live out that very same pattern. You know what happens when you do that? And again, we're not perfect. I can't tell you that in every situation I perfectly respond. I don't. There's a whole lot of times when I choose to trust myself instead of trusting Jesus. You know what happens? I fail. And it's easy in those moments to get discouraged and say, see, I can't do this. But that's actually the blessing of failure. It's a reminder that you can't do this in your own strength. You need Jesus. In that moment, we need to come back to Jesus and say, Jesus, I tried to do this in my own strength, and I can't. Thanks for reminding me. I'm telling you, I need you to give me strength to walk forward, to take the next step that you have for me to take. As you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Okay? And so now you take step after step after step after step, depending on Jesus. You know what happens? You find Jesus at work in your life. You find God on the move in your life. Because you're now taking steps, and it's not you doing it, it's God. And you look back and say, whoa, God just did something that's amazing. I never thought I could open my mouth and talk to that friend about Jesus. I've been so afraid to, but I just trusted Jesus to give me strength that I could do. And look what he did. He gave me the ability to do something I've never been able to do before. Or man, I've been so defeated in this area of my life and in these responses or in these thoughts. And boy, I just felt like I've just been in bondage there. And now I took the steps God wanted to, trusting Jesus. And look, man, today I walked in freedom from that bondage. Boy, I'm going to trust Jesus again tomorrow because God's working in my life.
He's given me something I don't have. His own strength, his own life at work in your life. This is what we all need. No matter how long you've been saved, you will always need the strength of Jesus to do what you can't do. Because you know what? Your flesh is weak, and it will always be weak. But Jesus is strong. He will always be strong. The question is, will we trust in Jesus to deliver us? Will we take that pattern? Listen, I'm willing to admit my need right now. I can't do this. And I'm coming, and I'm going to trust the deliverer. Just like you did for salvation. The same humility it took to come to Jesus and say, I can't save myself, Jesus, you've got to do it. It needs to be the same humility that you live in the Christian life. Now, the passage goes on here. Actually, the sentence continues. And it gives us as well the result. What happens in your life? Okay, Jesus at work. But what does that look like? Look at verse number 7 now. It says here, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Okay, so there's several results. And he says, listen, if you'll live this life of living out this pattern, walking in trust in Jesus and Jesus alone, just like you did when you got saved, here's what happens. He says, you'll have a firm foundation. You'll be rooted in him. You'll find, again, remember Christ, the center of our life. You'll find that Christ is the source of confidence in your life. Like the roots of a tree going down deep and providing the sustenance that you need and the stability that you need in your life, the consistency. And you think, well, what? I don't want to live a life. Okay. You'll find Jesus is that consistency. He is that source of all that you need as you're rooted in him. Now listen, you are rooted in him already. It's something that's already accomplished. But as you grow, okay, the moment you can say Jesus is in you, you're in Jesus, that reality is there. But as you grow, those roots grow deeper and you experience the confidence and stability that comes from Jesus. As you trust in him in every step, giving you even greater strength, a firm foundation. It says rooted and built up. So here we see continued growth. Christ strengthening you on the inside. Not just outside, you're looking better, but on the very inside of you, you're finding strength and a transformation taking place in your life as he is transforming you because you're trusting him and he is living out the reality of who he is in your life and through your life. You know, really young people, we think of, okay, well, I need to grow spiritually. And sometimes we think, well, that means I need to know more. And we need to grow in our knowledge of the Word of God. We do. Sometimes we think, well, I need growing spiritually. That means I'm taking some of these steps, right? I'm doing some things. I'm serving in this way, or I'm changing, making these changes in my life. And those are things we need to do as well. But can I tell you what real Christian maturity is? Real Christian maturity comes as we grow in our trust in Jesus. That's what determines whether or not someone is growing, whether they're mature. Are they somebody who has learned to consistently trust in Jesus? And that's spiritual growth. I want to look and say, I grow as I, the more consistently I'm trusting in Jesus, the more I grow. So often, as we're beginning this, as we're learning the life of trust in Jesus, we trust Jesus for salvation, and maybe we'll trust him and take another this step, and then we just do our own thing. We trust ourselves, trying to do what we should be doing, and we come to a place and, oh man, no, I need to be trusting Jesus. Oh man, I failed. I need to trust Jesus. Jesus, give me strength. And then we go back to trusting ourselves. It's so easy to do. But a mature Christian is one who realizes, you know, today, in this step, I need Jesus. Jesus, in this step, I need you. I'm not going to trust myself with it. Well, Jesus, I need you in this step too. You know what that is? That's someone who's a mature believer. Because they've grown in their consistency and trusting in Jesus in their daily life. And that's what God's calling you to. He wants to bring that growth in your life. And then so it says, rooted, built up in him. And it says, established in the faith as you've been taught. This is the idea of you have a clear understanding of truth and of the Christian life, that Christ is opening your eyes to understand, boy, this is what it means to live the Christian life. And then you're able to help others because now you have an understanding of, boy, it's this simple. Just like I got saved, is how I need to take every step of my Christian life. Now, all three of those participles that are there, which I know that's English, we shouldn't be talking about in the summertime, but They're all passive. Okay, which means it's something that we don't do to ourselves. It's what Christ does in our life as we walk. So it's not like I need to say, listen, all right, I need to strengthen my foundation and I need to grow in my life. No, you don't. Just trust Jesus and He'll do those things in your life. Just trust Him in every step and you'll find out, whoa, I've been growing. Wow, I'm understanding things about the scriptures and about God that I never understood before. Because you just said, I'm just going to keep trusting Jesus. And He does that work in our life. But the final one that here is given, it says, abounding therein with thanksgiving, the final result. This one is an action that we need to take. And here we see overflowing gratitude. Christ, we experience the gratitude, Christ filling our hearts with joy and gratitude that can only come from Him. And can I just say this, young people, believers should be the most thankful people in the world. The most joy-filled people in the world. Should be the people right here in this room. See, why is that? Because the more that we know and grow and experience Christ as we walk with Him, the more gratitude overflows in our life because you're experiencing God at work in your life in ways that you know, hey, this isn't me. Wow, God is so good. He just delivered me here. Oh, God is so good. He gave me wisdom for that conversation. Oh, God, you're so good. You gave me the right response. A couple of years ago, I would have just lashed out at that person, but you gave me a gentle response. God, that's amazing. I can't believe you've changed me like that. You're so good. It fills our heart with gratitude because we know this is God. We see the reality of God in our life. And so if we have little gratitude in our life, you know what it means? There's been little growth. And the fact maybe that we struggle to have a thankful heart shows that we live life trusting ourselves and we don't see God as real in our life. Because we're trying to just do the things. Even if you're going through the right motions. But God's not real because you're not trusting Him and taking the steps He's leading you to take. You're trying to do what you can in your own strength. When we do that, we fail. We fail. Because God never intended for you to be able to live the Christian life on your own. Never did. It's impossible if it's just you. But that's why Jesus came. Yes, to save you from sin and hell, but He still is your Savior today. And He wants to save you to deliver you in the steps that you need to take. Okay, some of you have a step you need to take when you go home. And God's dealt with you. You know, I need to talk with my parents, sit down and have an honest conversation about some things. And inside you're thinking, I don't know how I could possibly do that. I told my counselor I would, but man, I don't know how I'm going to make that. I'm scared to death. There's no way I can actually do that. To really be just fully honest and transparent with them about this. I don't know how I could do that. Now you can do it? Yeah, if it's just you, it's impossible. But if you'll go home and say, Jesus, I can't do this. I don't have strength to do more. This is, I'm scared stiff. Jesus, I need you, and right now I know you want to deliver me, and so Jesus, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to open my mouth and say, Mom and Dad, I need to talk, and I'm trusting you to give me the strength to lay it all out there. And I tell you, Jesus says, I'll get involved in that situation. I'll give you the strength you feel like you don't have. I'll step in there. The way you got saved is the way you live the Christian life. It's that simple. And I'm so thankful, though we like to complicate things, that God has kept it with 14 simple words. As you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in. You see the pattern. We can take that pattern now and let that pattern be repeated, trusting Jesus and Jesus alone. In every step of your Christian life, trusting Jesus and Jesus alone to do through you what you cannot do yourself. Just admit our need and trust the deliverer and take that step that He's called you to take. That's the Christian life. That's what He says, so walk ye in Him. Follow the pattern. And I tell you, God gets you all over it. Let's pray. Lord, would you help these young people? Lord, would you use this simple truth to be an encouragement? Lord, if there's someone here this morning who has not made a decision because they've had it in their heart, I can't do that. I'm not going to make a decision I can't follow through. There's no way I couldn't follow through on that. But would you use even this simple truth this morning to encourage them that they can't follow through, but if they'll trust you, they can see you enable them to do what they can never do. Give them strength to make that decision that needs to be made. We'll trust you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.